You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, fight fans, welcome into the MMA Hangout presented by Cuervo. That man right there was boots on the ground, Connor Burks of the MMA Hour. Connor, bro, everything looked incredible from the show to your fight feast, the vibe in Vegas. What was it?
I appreciate that. First off, it was high, man, and it was kind of crazy because like I landed on Wednesday morning and like it was kind of normal scenes there. And as the week went on, we got like more and more hype. It built up more towards like, oh man, UFC 300 is happening. By the time it got to Saturday, it was just like you went down into the lobby of the casinos of the hotels and everyone is decked out in UFC gear. Like it felt like there was an energy, there was an aura. And like I was getting an Uber probably 45 minutes before like the card started. And I passed T-Mobile Arena and I could just see a massive line to get in. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is wild. And then you just look over the card again before you get into it. And you're just like, we're about to get into some shit here, man. Like, this is about to be crazy. Like, it really just felt like, it felt like the MMA world was like getting bigger than itself, and it was entering that mainstream. And yes, it was just like, it's the energy was just palpable, man. It was amazing.
It's funny because you look at the entire card and there were some people that had their reservations about the main event, right? It was like the seventh fight that they wanted to book. But when it came time to it, I sold myself very hard on Pereira versus Jamal Hill. Very hard. I was like, dude, this is going to be incredible. My wife incredible. Was like, I think I'm more excited for that fight than any other fight on the card. And I was like, I don't know, dude. Like, there's some bangers on this card.
There's some bangers.
But it lived up to the hype. We'll get to the fight in a second. But and all the fights in a second. But you guys did a couple shows out there with some huge names. Like, can you just give us a couple of the names that you guys talked to up there?
Yeah, brother. So, I mean, we did a show Thursday and Friday, the MMA Hour, that being the show. We had Mark Coleman on, obviously, one of the first interviews he's done since the fire, since everything went down in the hospital. It was incredible to hear from him. We had Israel Adesanya. He really only likes to do interviews in person. So the fact that he was in Vegas as well, found out some wild stuff about how close he was to being the main event.
Talk about that for a second, because people don't realize that was about to be it until it wasn't.
Oh, brother. So another guest that we had was Tim Simpson, manager to the Stars, the chosen few, obviously, Max Holloway, Jiří Procházka, one of those being Israel Adesanya as well. And so we had him on the day before we talked to Izzy, and Tim Simpson was like, up until a few hours before they announced Jamal Hill versus Alex Pereira, they were still seeing it as a real possibility that it was going to happen. And it just ended up not materializing. You know, DDP was a potential opponent for him to fight. It didn't really work out. Now it looks like they might do that at a later date. I mean, we had Dan Hooker on. He didn't have tickets to the event, and he was like kind of cool with it. He was like, yeah, I'm not really worried about it. The whole reason I even booked a flight out here was to support Izzy being in the main event. Like, oh, that's God, how close this was to being DDP Izzy in the headliner, which would have just been astronomical. Electric. But it is what it is, because I was hyped for Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill. I mean, I firmly believe Alex Pereira is one of the biggest stars in the sport today. I mean, just go look at what happened online. And then in retrospect now, I mean, it was incredible. The fact that he gets the knockout immediately, like he does the Khabib LeMay hands, the point to Herb Dean, like it's a superstar moment. Like, it's just a superstar moment. So I had no issues about it. So those were some of the guests that we had. Murad Dvalishvili stopped by. We didn't think we were going to get him. Then he called. So I had texted him a couple times.
He seems like a quirky guy, right?
Bro, he is a wild one. So he's like, he's in and then he's out. And then he's back in, and then, you know, we're getting to showtime, and like, we still don't know if he's going to come. I text him a couple times, no answer. Call him a couple times, no answer.
Sick.
It's getting past the time he was supposed to be there. Very busy with Aljamain Sterling, so I completely understand. Sure. We are an afterthought for him. He had to get one of his best friends and training partners to the fight on Saturday night, UFC 300, moving up a weight class, massive implications for him. So I understand us being an afterthought. He calls me like 20 minutes after he was supposed to be on. And we had kind of given it up. And then I just see my phone light up, Murad Dvalishvili. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm like, what's up, Murad? He doesn't say, hello, this is Connor. He doesn't say anything. He just goes, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I'm just like, all right, Marab's on the way then. So we had Marab Dvalishvili as well. We had Eric Nixick, coach to Francis Ngannou, Deshaun Strickland, everyone in his stream to Couture, which, by the way, he is the man. Like, really? he is just the man, dude. He's so nice, so personable. Just seems like such a genuine salt of the earth, dude. So yeah, if I'm forgetting anyone, I mean, it was star-studded, dude. It was fantastic. And the only reason we had that opportunity is because we were in Las Vegas.
In Sin City, man. 10 toes down on the streets, dude.
Right there on the strip. Woo! I mean, from the time we started flying in, I was like, wow, we're really here. Like, we are really here. And then you walk up the plane and there's slot machines and you're like, holy shit, like, fight capital of the world. I stayed at the MGM Grand and it's just like, dude, the history that this building holds is wild. Like, you had McGregor Aldo here, like all the boxing events that have happened here, and then like just all the entertainment that's been there as well. Just like walking that with Helwani and our guy New York Rick, and them talking about the memories they've created there, and all the things that happened there for UFC history. It was just like, and then I mean, movies, like you got Ocean's 11, things like that. Like, it's just an iconic building. So checking in there, first time in Vegas, seeing the strip, you know, you see New York, you see Paris, you see the fountains, you're like, damn, we're really in the mix.
We're really in the mix, man.
It's amazing.
Funny enough you say that, because I was there for the Super Bowl, and it felt big for the Super Bowl, obviously, because everybody's there. First time for the Super Bowl being in Vegas. Nobody ever thought that a Super Bowl would be played in Vegas or any major sport would be home in Vegas. And I remember being there for the Super Bowl and there was a buzz to it. But there's something about being in Vegas for a fight, specifically combat sports. That's even higher than the Super Bowl. It just feels like everybody in Vegas is a fight fan. You look across, there's people that love boxing, love UFC, love whatever it is that the fight is going on. It's there in Vegas and people are locked in. So like, just to be there for that moment, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was set up to succeed, this card, just with all of the matches that they had.
The depth on this card was
insane. When you have Figgy versus Cody Garbrandt as the first fight at 5:59 p.m. Eastern, that lets you know, like, the card is set up. It could have not succeeded. We could have had some fights that were kind of whatever. But for it to be billed as this is the biggest night in MMA history and then almost supersede that, makes it really truly special of what we saw.
I couldn't agree with you more, dude. So beforehand, there was like a gift shop in my hotel and it had UFC merch in it, and it had like a UFC 300 shirt. I bought a UFC 300 fanny pack. I was like, this is going to age well, like, in like 5 years. This will be my Jim Miller moment. Jim Miller rocked the UFC 100 jacket at UFC 500 when I'm in Vegas and I'm 55 years old. I'm going to have the UFC 300 fanny pack and be like, I'm there. And after I bought it, you know, Vegas prices, I had to drop a penny on it. After I bought the shirt and the fanny pack, I'm like, man, I really hope this card is sick. I really hope this card is sick, because I went to Atlantic City a couple weeks ago and it was a decent card. I mean, really, like, it's not something you're really going to remember. Paid $40 for a t-shirt. Had like the worst gambling night of my life. Just got absolutely slaughtered. Just like left, right, and center. Got destroyed. And I was like, man, I really hope this is like a night to remember so I can look back on this fondly. And it delivered, dude. It delivered beyond my expectations, and I had fairly high expectations. Like, you get the finish with Cody Garbrandt, Davison Figueiredo. You get the finish, the Moicano comeback.
Moicano is crazy.
I mean, come on, dude. Bobby Green, Jim Miller was a fantastic fight. Unfortunately, Jim Miller doesn't get the win at 100, 200, 300. And it kind of felt like we were ramping up a little bit. Kayla comes out, looks beautiful, gets the finish. Like,
dude, Kayla looks special.
The importance of that win, for the women's bantamweight division cannot be understated. Mm-hmm. Like, women's bantamweight was just a slog.
Dead.
Like, there was no energy at all. Now it's just like, okay, now Kayla Harrison's here. Okay, now is she fighting Raquel Pennington for the belt? Is she going to fight Juliana Pena for an interim title? I know Raquel Pennington's dealing with some injuries. And then if we get Kayla Harrison as a UFC champion, there's a star with a belt. And who's coming knocking at the door? Mm-hmm. Is that the GOAT coming back now? Now are we getting Amanda Nunes back? Like, the energy that just like injected into that division, she needed to come out, make a statement. And she did. She did, which was incredible. Aljo, I know, was not that exciting of a fight, but we still got a huge slam, and he had a dominant, dominant performance, man. He made Calvin Kattar look like a chump in there. He had Calvin Kattar throwing like 10 significant strikes the entire fight. And then for me, when the chaos began was when The Last Samurai, the King of Chaos, entered the octagon. Everyone's automatic answer was Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje as the fight they were most looking forward to. And I don't disagree with that. It was kind of like, all right, what fight are you looking forward to beyond that? My answer was always Jiří versus Rakic. Jiří is just guaranteed to make fights crazy. And he did it again. And he comes out victorious. And it's just incredible. And then you get in the main card. And it just like took off from there. You get the Holloway moment. You get the Pereira with the hands. You get the wildness in the co-main. It was just like, right when it ended, I got asked, what do you give this on a scale of 1 to 10? And I was like, man, I would go 8-8. And then I started thinking a bit more. And then I was like, no, let me get a 9-3 on it. And then now that I've digested everything that happened and just how awesome it was and badass, and then you get the McGregor announcement afterward and everything, huge, and the Mark Coleman giving the BMF belt, it's hard not to say a 10. Like, that is peak UFC right there. That is peak MMA. It was incredible.
It's just like, how do they get bigger than what they just did, right? Like, let's start in the main event really quick.
Yes, please.
Pineda versus Jamal Hill. Jamal Hill's, remember, didn't lose the title, had the Achilles tear.
Young he's Crown out. King, right.
All of a sudden, he's coming back. We haven't seen how he looks. We don't know what his cardio is going to look like, especially off an Achilles tear. So we're in this wait-and-see moment. Pineda, I was talking to Danny Segura of MMA Junkie, and I was telling him, dude, I think that Pereira has the best 12-fight run, at that point, 11-fight run in the UFC in its history. I don't think anybody has had a better debut or has been as good as quick as Alex Pereira. Two titles, one defense. Like,
headline Madison Square Garden twice.
Twice.
Is the headliner.
I was at both of them.
Was the headliner for UFC 300. Only loss is to long reigning champion Israel Adesanya, who was getting his belt back. I mean, the resume is unbelievable. The only thing that I would play
beat Sean Strickland, who for you know used dude, champ
brother. Like, if we just go and look at dude's resume right now, I want to say his last five or six fights have been against people that have held the belt. Jamal Hill was a title holder, Jiří Prochazka title holder, Jan Blachowicz title holder, Israel Adesanya title holder, Israel Adesanya title holder, Sean Strickland title holder. Last six fights have been against champions. He is 5-1. Oh, and by the way, in the middle of that, he moved up a weight class and got the belt up there as well.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous what this guy has been doing. And I love it because he kind of entered this MMA space when I did heavy. I joined the MMA Hour in September of 2021. He signed with the UFC in September of 2021. Mm-hmm. I think I have bet on him in every single fight except for the two Izzy ones. Like, even like the Andreas Mikulaitis fight, where if you go back and you watch that Andreas Mikulaitis fight, he gets dominated in the first round. They give him like a guy who can actually grapple, and he gets held down almost the entire time. And you're just like, oh, all right. So like, world-class kickboxer, like glory double champion.
Seems like it doesn't work.
It's just like, all you have to do is grapple the guy. And then he comes out, and in the first 10 seconds or 20 seconds, flying knee flattens the guy. And you're like, oh, shit, he's really here.
That's it. Okay, perfect.
Bro, and then they line in minus 110 against Sean Strickland, and he just ethers him in like a minute and a half. Just absolutely insane. The only thing that I would play devil's advocate on like greatest 12-fight run is that like, you have some deep stuff with guys like GSP and Anderson Silva when they were racking up title defenses and they were fighting the best in the world. Alex Pereira is really just like, it's his last six fights. Because before that, you have Bruno Silva and Andreas Mikulaitis. And then, obviously, before the UFC, we've never heard of these guys.
Right.
Marcus Vinicius, Marcelo Cruz, who are like under 500 guys. So that's like the only thing I would play devil's advocate to. But like, his UFC career right now is probably one of the most insane things we have ever seen. And like, you talk about just superstar, even when he lost, it was one of the most viral moments in UFC history with the Adesanya knockout and the bow and arrow into the flatline body. It's just like, anytime this guy has gotten in the octagon over the last 2 years, it has just created just a massive, massive moment for the sport. So I love the guy. I mean, I love him. Can't get enough of him. I was cheering for him hard, and he came out and delivered, man. That left hook is the best weapon in MMA right now.
Lethal, lethal. And I'm glad you said that, because it looks to me, and again, when we watch it on TV from millions of miles away on TV, it's not the same ferocity. It's not the same velocity that he throws it at, but it doesn't even feel like he's throwing it that hard sometimes. That's the thing. Like, he slept Jamal Hill and it looked like he missed.
I've watched the slow motion replay of it. It doesn't even look like he caught him clean, which is so crazy.
And it's like hitting a home run off the end of your bat.
Yes.
It's
like he's like Barry Bonds back in the big juice days. And right. Like, he just like didn't really catch it clean. It's like, oh, wait, that's actually gone. That's a home run. Yeah. And let's not act like Jamal Hill is some chinny like glass cannon or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, he is notoriously tough. Went five hard rounds with Alex's coach, Glover Teixeira. So, I mean, it's incredible what this guy holds. And it kind of makes you think, like, the left hook he caught Israel Adesanya with that started the end of the fight at Madison Square Garden in 2022, he caught that so clean, and Izzy didn't go out. And then, like, now looking in hindsight, you're just like, I can't believe he didn't go out to that. Like, that kills everybody now. It's wild, man. I mean, you see how tough Jiří Procházka is, man. The shots he was eating on Saturday, like, I know he's been finished before, but you have to dead that guy to get him out of there. And who did it? Alex Pereira.
Moving on to the co-main event, the Women's Strawweight Championship of the World, Zhang Weili versus Yan Xiaonan.
Toughness, man.
Dude, that was a dog fight. Dog fight for five rounds. That was incredible.
Bro, you get the end of the first round where Yan Xiaonan went out. No doubt about it. She was out and limp. She does not like move until Zhang starts pushing her off. And then she's like, oh shit, where am I? And then like Jason Herzog comes and like helps her up. Right. And then she's like stumbling around. Like, yes. And then the corner's like, we can wake her up. Like, they're dumping water on her. It's just like, yo. Like, I want to know so badly what the is going through her mind when she comes out in the second round and she's just like, all right, like, we're still in the fight. Cause she starts coming out and she's just throwing. Like, it's just like, lady, you were unconscious 90 seconds ago. How are you back up? And then Zhang comes out, takes her down, looks like she's going to submit her again. And I was like, please do not put this woman out twice in the matter of like 5 minutes. But then she starts raining ground and pound on her. And like, I was watching it live on our watch party, and I was like, bro, Herzog, call the fight, man.
Right.
She's already been out once. Like, she doesn't need to take any more damage. Fights all the way through that, and then Zhang's gassed, and now Yan Xiaonan is, like, coming back. Like, going into the fourth round, it was, like, -160 Zhang. Yes. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe she's come back. And then Zhang dogs it out, gets the next two rounds. Like, it was just – it was almost like we had the emotional dump from Holloway Gaethje that, like, there's nothing – that they could have done to live up to the hype of that.
Yes.
But bro, that was a wild fight, man. That was a wild fight. Shout out to both of them. Like, I think that's where Yan Xiaonan lost, but like, her stock still went up. Like, the dog in her is wild.
100%. And it's funny how we're talking about this kind of out of order and we already know the result, right? So we're talking about incredible knockout, dog fight, incredible knockout. But as we were watching it, right, we had just experienced Holloway versus Gaethje. So we were like, what else can we do? And then it was that five rounder that was just a battle, just a war, back and forth, ground and pound. What we think is a submission. No, wait, she's alive. She actually got up. And then she hits Zhang Weili with a kick to the midsection.
Dropped her twice. She dropped her twice
across the octagon.
Yes, dude. She dropped her ass twice. Like, that, bro, that fight really was crazy. I kind of want to go back and rewatch it with the perspective of coming in fresh to it and just like enjoying how good of a fight it was. Because I was checked out until like at least like 3 minutes into the first round. Like, I was still just gathering myself after Holloway Gaethje. But that really was like that was a fantastic fight.
Like, if that was standalone on a main event on another card, we'd be like, great main event. Like,
right, bro. If we had gotten like Nikita Krylov versus like Nasruddin Imavov or something, I don't know, like something like that before the fight, like we would have been like, that was an incredible main event.
Sick.
Yeah.
The BMF title, which we're going to go to now, happened, which is, I don't know. And Connor, you think too, like, in the annals of time in the UFC, there have been bigger stake knockouts, right? But for something like this, where that could have easily been Max on the floor, asleep.
Easily.
That's what people don't get. Like, the reason why when he called to the center of the octagon and said, we're going to phone booth this one out, me and you're just going to throw for the last 10 seconds. That was such a ballsy move on Max Holloway's part because he was clearly winning the fight the entire time. Eye pokes aside, that spinning back kick with 1 second left in the first round that knocked Gaethje's nose into the fourth row was insane.
And getting to rewatch it in slow motion is where it really set in, because at first I didn't know what happened. And like Gaethje, they almost timed to where Gaethje almost fell out of the octagon door. Like he was like just flying over that way. Watching it in slow motion and seeing where he catches him, it's like, holy shit, he caught that perfectly. Gaethje, of course, just eats it, has to go right back out there and fight four rounds with just a broken nose. Just absolute insanity. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this fight. Like,
fight of the year?
So I just have like a tough time with this because it's like it wasn't that insane of a fight for the first like 4.5 rounds. Like it was like it was a very good fight, but it was more of like a tactical warfare by Max Holloway. Like he just came out there and just fought a perfect fight. And now hearing him talk about it, it's so wild because he's like, I think it was like a behind the scenes with his wife or something. He's talking about it. He's just like, yeah, every time I heard him, like, An angry lion hunts faster, hunts harder.
Right,
he was
right.
Like, he got an insane look in his eye every time I heard him. Like, it was like I was pissing him off. And I was like, all right, like, let's just chill. Like, let's go back to just like, you know, tactical shit. Like, he played a perfect fight. And he was like, he also said that like some of those punches that missed, he could just like feel the wind coming by. Yeah. Like, he was just like, bro, if one of those landed, like, I don't know if I was going to be upright. Also, let's give Justin Gaethje's credit. Not only did he fight with a broken nose and everything in between and the two eye pokes. Like, I just can't fathom being that tough. You get the second eye poke in the second round after your nose just got broken. And like, bro, he's looking at Herb Dean just like, I'm good. And
Herb's like,
are you good? He's just like, stop asking stupid questions, Herb. I'm good. Like, let me back out there. Or whoever was refereeing that fight. All of that, just like the way that Max Holloway bulked up and was able to deal with being a 155er, obviously wasn't successful last time against Dustin Poirier, was just a feat of just like, it was just so incredible because he was so doubted. And I was cheering for Max. I love Max. He's one of my favorite fighters. I had him +210, was sitting on a ticket for a whole month. So I was like super invested in this, wanted him to win so bad. And like, as the rounds went on, I'm like, holy shit, he's really doing this. And then you get to round five. He is up on every judge's scorecard. He was winning that round clearly as well, just out voluming the hell out of him. And then he calls to the center of the octagon. I don't think I'll ever see anything cooler than that. Maybe I'll see something as cool, but like, you cannot get cooler than that right there. You have the fight won. You are about to become the BMF champ. You're about to become, certified in the 155 division. Now you're in the title hunt in both of these divisions. Mm-hmm. It's all there. And you just say, let's just put it all on the line. I could just get knocked out. First time I ever get knocked out in my entire career. Because let's not forget, I know the stats don't say it. He dropped Max Holloway, bro.
Yeah.
He punched him in the face and Max Holloway's ass hit the mat. He got dropped, dude, which is a testament to Justin Gaethje. And then to stand in the middle like that and just absolutely throw
haymakers,
no defense at all. And then the overhand right with 1 second left.
Clean.
Just clean.
So clean.
And it was the way Gaethje reacted to it made it that much better. Schlumped, slept out cold, unconscious. You are in the land of ghosts and shadows. Mm-hmm. You are no longer in T-Mobile Arena. Insanity, dude. I mean, I don't know how. I just don't think you can ever top that moment. I think you can match it, maybe, but like, you can just never top that. It was just so insane, so sick, so badass. It was incredible.
It's incredible because it felt like if Justin could get past Max and do it as well as he did against other fighters, it felt like there was a moment where you would have to say, how can you give a title shot to Dustin or to Armin when Justin beat Dustin with a KO? He's kind of got to be the next in line for Islam. And then this happens and it's like, oh my God. And then obviously you talk about them offering Armin the fight right after he gets off. We'll talk which in a second. But then Dustin gets the fight because Justin gets knocked out. Like a lot of MMA... transcendental math happening behind the scenes.
Bro, I think Dustin Poirier needs to send a box of hot sauce to both Charles Oliveira and Max Holloway.
Yes.
I mean, Max Holloway, ended Justin Gaethje's chance at getting another title shot for the foreseeable future. And then Charles Oliveira beat up Armin Sarukian enough that he couldn't accept the title shot against Islam Makhachev at the beginning of June, which would have been just a ridiculous turnaround to fight one of, if not the best fighters in the entire world.
Yes.
So I don't blame Armin Sarukian for saying, I'm going to sit this one out and stay on the sidelines. But yeah, I think thanks is in order because the fact that Dustin Poirier is getting this title shot when he got sparked out by Justin Gaethje just July of last year and his only win is against the 12th ranked fighter in Benoit Saint-Denis. Yes, I feel like some thank yous are in order.
Guy with a worst night. Guy that had the fight to go the distance between between Max and Justin Gaethje, or had Max by decision.
Well, it's got to be Max by decision because that would be a bigger payout. I mean, it's just like that's
the guy that had Max by decision is sitting there like, yes, 3-2-1.
How do you even react? I don't even know how you handle that. If I'm being honest, like, how do you? Because, like, you have to go crazy because it's such an insane moment, but you're also just like, damn, I just lost my bet. I just lost my bet. Yeah, I mean, that was, gosh, that was.
It was one for the history books, dude. Like, I don't know if we'll ever see something like that again, just with the timing, with the call out to the center of the octagon. Like, I don't know. Like you said, it was a good fight. I don't know if it was a good enough fight from both sides for it to be fight of the year.
Knockout of the year, no question.
Without a doubt.
I don't care what happens for the rest of the year. You would have to do something so absurdly insane, unfathomable to top that. That is knockout of the year, if not going to end up being knockout of the decade. I mean, it's just
100%.
It's just so crazy.
This BMF thing kind of worked out, right?
I love the BMF, bro.
There was a subset of people in the MMA community that's like, this is a gimmick. This is bullshit. Subset.
I feel like it's most of the MMA community. They hate on it. I bought a BMF belt.
I gave it to
Mark Coleman, man. He rode out with it. If you saw Mark Coleman in Vegas this week with a BMF belt, that was from Big CB.
I feel like it's worked, man, because they've put fights together for that BMF belt that have been big enough to be title fights without having to be a title fight. And I just feel like it worked.
We've gotten three BMF fights so far. Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, and Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje. All three of them have been bangers. Understand that it's a gimmick. Just understand that and just be okay with it. It's kind of like people that that hate on pro wrestling. Like, just understand what it is and just enjoy it. Like, we don't have to take everything so seriously. Like, just enjoy the BMF belt. It's almost always going to be sick fights. Like, I don't think we're going to get Max Holloway, Movsar Evloev for the BMF belt. Like, they're going to match up and make, like, a badass fight. So just enjoy it, man. It's fun. It's fun. It's just like the new shorts. Like, it's just it's fun. It's something cool. It's an addition. The more personality this sport can have, the better it is.
I'm waiting on the Sean Strickland jean short shorts.
Oh, my God. I mean, why not? Why not? It feels like they're giving, like, either... Current
we got Max's flowers. We got the Aztec look for Poatan.
We got Zhang with the China.
Yeah.
With like the heart of the dragon. We got...
they're sick.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Gaethje's American flag ones could have been so much better. I don't think he had any creative input in that because when he got them, he was like, oh, word. Like, he's like, these aren't that cool. Like, so... Yeah, I mean,
we got Sean with the pink shorts. We got Thug Nasty with the camo, the OG, by the way.
Give someone purple shorts, and then just like, if someone has an idea for them, like just make them. It's fun. Venom clearly has no issue with making custom shorts. Like that's now proven. So yeah, I mean, the more creative we can get, the better.
Lightweight eliminator, Armin Sarukian, Charles Oliveira. I felt a little bit more biased. I felt like Oliveira, I wanted him to win. It felt like he maybe had done enough to win. Obviously, split decision. So one of the judges at least saw it my way too. It felt like he did enough in that last round to maybe go over the top. What was your read on it?
Yeah, I think in real time I scored a 29-28 Armin, but I would have been cool if it had gone to Charles. I mean, he had two submissions locked up. Tight, man. I thought that
standing gilly was crazy.
I thought that thing was in, man. I was like, wow, Charles Oliveira does it again. This guy is an absolute savage. Like, I cannot believe he just jumped gilly and it worked and he's about to finish this guy. Like, one of the most elite killers at 155. Like, just absolute insanity. Yeah, I mean, it was a great fight, dude. It was a great fight. Armin Sarukian is just tough, man. If you can grapple with Charles Oliveira and have no fear of getting submitted, we saw it with Islam, you're probably going to have success. I mean, like, his biggest weapon is, A, he's just a psycho, dangerous, incredibly talented fighter, and B, he has that aura on the ground of, like, mm-hmm. if you drop him, he'll just be like, come on down, big boy. Let's go. Let's do it. Like, if I can't submit you, I'm going to throw nasty elbows until I can get on top, get your back, and then it's done. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great fight. I feel that Armin won, but, I mean, I wouldn't have been upset if Charles. I mean, I had a parlay die on fight doesn't go to decision, and I had Oliveira money line. Had he locked up that sub at the end, I would have lost my shit. Would have lost my shit, dude. Would have had my biggest betting night ever. Like, but... Alas, you couldn't have a perfect night.
Enter the first fight of the main card, Cody Brundage, Bo Nickel. It feels like the UFC has a game plan with Bo. They're going to feed whoever to him as of right now until he gets a big time fight. I felt like Cody Brundage, if you want to be honest, fought the best fight of anybody that's fought Bo Nickel.
Oh, no doubt.
Without a doubt.
I think the longest anyone had lasted with him was like 2.5 minutes or something. And I think that was Jamie Pickett, who just played submission defense for 2.5 minutes getting submitted. I mean, Cody Brundage, like, he fought. He fought for sure. As like
came out with a couple flying knees, with a couple kicks.
I think Bo even admitted that, like, he came out a little too reckless. And, like, he noticed Brundage was having some success when he was coming out. Reckless because he was thinking $300,000 bonus, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, man. I mean, he's clearly still, like, he's pretty green to the MMA space. Like, I still think he's wildly talented. Like, let's not forget, like, he's very young. That was only his sixth pro fight, and he still did win in pretty dominant fashion and got the second round finish. I mean, he's upset with it. I think he'll just continue to get better. I think if you're the UFC, you continue to slow roll him. I think a few more unranked fights before you get him in there with a top contender. Like, he's not Hamzatting this. Like, he's not coming in here and just absolutely steamrolling everyone they put in front of him and calling for another fight a week later and then steamrolling them. Like, slow roll it. He's got time. He's got the ability to be a star. He'll have a big following in America if he can become a champion. Has all the confidence in the world. So, yeah, it wasn't the best performance, but I'm still excited for the future for Bo Nickel.
Who's the fight in that division, in the middleweight division, that you're being like, okay, I could see the UFC maybe giving him this guy?
I saw one or two people throwing around Gerald Meerschaert, and I don't hate that. A guy that isn't amazing in the striking department is good in the wrestling and the grappling, who's got a million submissions on his record. So that might be a nice test. I just, like, when I watch Bo Nickel, I just, like, can't imagine him getting into, like, a 15-minute striking affair.
Right.
So, like, maybe someone with a grappling acumen will, like, force him to strike more. Because it just feels like he's just looking for a knockout or to level change as fast as possible.
Right.
And in, like,
level change submission in that order.
Exactly. And, like, his submission game is pretty nice, man. Like, he gets under the neck fairly quickly. I mean, Brundage was fighting the hands a lot. But, yeah, let's go GM3, you know, a vet. Ton of fights under his belt. The guy thought he was going to stop Hamzat. We'll see if he can stop Bo Nickel.
There's a lot of exciting fights coming up. We got 301. We can kind of look past 301. I feel like there's not really much going on in 301. Like,
yeah, is Pantoja Hursek, I guess. It's a drop off. But listen, and we have to deal with a lot of Apex fight nights as well. But listen, like, we're paying the price for $299 and $300.
I'll take that, though.
100%.
I'll take that,
UFC
though.
Wrote a fat-ass check, and we're now paying the bills for that check. And the check was UFC $299 and $300. You could even include $298 in there as well. That gave us the viral moment of Ilia Topuria knocking out Alexander Volkanovski. So it is what it is, man. We're going to revamp. It's all good. We're going to revamp.
We just got to wait till 302. That's it. Just got to wait.
We're right back in June, dude. Like, just
right back at it.
The thing about being a UFC fan is it's just like it happens every week. I understand that. Like, this is happening every single week of the year. I think you get like 45 events, but you got to understand they're not all going to be bangers. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel bad for the people that tuned into 300 that don't really watch MMA.
They're like, dude, this is sick.
This is fucking crazy, man. This is the greatest sport on earth. And then you're going to be like, oh, the UFC has an event this weekend and it's UFC Apex 91, Nicolau versus Perez. And you're like,
yeah,
this shit sucks, dude. What is this? Where are the fans at? Like, I feel for that. I feel for that person desperately because It's a lot about being patient. Like, it's kind of like you're just waiting for the storm. But man, when that storm hits, when it delivers, man, I tell anyone, I'm like, I can see why you're not into this sport. Like, I can understand it. It's a blood sport. It's violent. It comes on at late hours. It's not for everyone. But man, when it's at its peak, dude, it is tough to top, dude.
There's like nothing bigger, dude. When there's like, a fight like this, there is nothing bigger on the planet. I don't care what happened this weekend. Nothing happened this weekend.
Nothing can get that reaction out of me like UFC. It's just, when it's good, it's so damn good, man. It is just so damn good. And like, there's been a few cards while I've been a UFC fan that like they just end and I'm just like on a high. I'm just like, that was so awesome, dude. Like 287 in Miami was one. Yes. Ilia Topuria, when he fought Josh Emmett.
That was Jacksonville fight night.
When he did a 5-round beatdown on Emmett, just watching that, I'm like, this guy is like an artist. And like Josh Emmett is his canvas because he is just this dude up. Like, this is crazy. Like, that was another night. 295 last year at MSG. That was another one where I'm like,
I was in the building for that one. That was
like,
sick.
I mean, 292 O'Malley. There's been so many. And then obviously this past weekend, 299. Like, there's just like, when it's good, it's just so damn good, man. And like, you just gotta go through the mud sometimes to get.
You gotta pay the bill. That's all it is.
We're just paying the bills, man. We're paying the bills, dude. And in June you got Newark, which is gonna be just a thing of beauty. You got Newark, which is Islam Makhachev, and then Costa versus Strickland, and then you got Saudi Arabia, which is headlined by
Bobby Knuckles versus Whitaker.
Like just like it's badass. And then you got 303, the Max back, baby. I mean, how can you complain? June's going to be insane. And then you go into July and you'll get hopefully we get a Manchester pay-per-view with Leon Edwards and Tom Aspinall as the headliners. I mean, sign me up for that.
Dude, I got goosebumps when I saw the picture of Aspinall looking at Pereira where he's like heavyweight and then Tom's there looking at him. Like, can you? There's no way. There's no way they let him. But can you imagine?
I don't know.
Aspinall.
I don't know any. Like I don't know, man. I mean, Aspinall might just be too big for that. Like he legit might just be too big and just like too much of a savage.
65.
I met him in person, and like as the kids say, like he just mocked me. He just mocked the hell out of me. His
hands look like 10 feet long.
Oh, he's just a beast of a man. But actually, like when he did come in studio on the MMA Hour, like I was in the green room, like wrapping up with them and everything. And we were running the Pereira interview from a couple weeks ago for it. And like they saw him, they're like, ah, oh, there he is, Pereira, blah, blah, blah. They were like, yeah, we'd love the fight one day. We just don't know if it's going to happen. That'd be crazy. How about big Tommy A in the background of almost everyone? Yeah. All the fighters like get in the Vaseline. You could just see Tom Aspinall's head sticking up. And then he's with his father. Like,
huge head.
He's like 6'6", the biggest man on planet Earth. And then his dad's just like 5'5". It's just like, how did this happen? Like his dad's like this just like older, like 5'5". Guy. It's amazing.
Hit the lottery, yeah, dude.
One last thing about UFC 300. I know I already gave him his flowers, but I just love Jiří Prochazka, man.
Yeah,
I just love that guy. The way that he just says, no defense here. My defense is my offense.
Right.
My defense is my offense.
Best defense is a good offense.
Bingo. The best defense is a good offense, and his defense is you're going to go unconscious, and that's how you're going to stop punching me. Because like he just puts on wars, man. Jiří versus Glover, one of my favorite fights of all time. I was in Europe and I had to watch it at like 6:30 in the morning. It was just one of the best memories I have with UFC. And then the Pereira fight just threw Costa to the wind. And now this one. Just
we didn't even talk about him calling off Herb Dean after a shot that clearly hit his cup.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. Clearly hit the cup. And he's like,
that was one of the sickest moments in this
left stop. Hand. And then gone.
Within 5 minutes, within 5 seconds, Jamal Hill is his back is on the canvas.
Out.
So yeah, man. I mean, just a special night, man. A special night. It is one I will not soon forget. And yeah, now we just we ride it out until we get another one, man.
That's right.
I'm sure we'll get another one soon, but for now it's just a waiting game.
That's Connor Burks of the MMA Hour. Let them know where they can see all of your stuff. You're the meme god, too. I didn't even mention that as part of your accolades. Meme Lord, meme God, on IG and Twitter. Let them know where they can follow your stuff, bro.
I mean, I appreciate that, brother. It's just at Connor Burks, my name, MMA Hour on YouTube, MMA Fighting YouTube channel. We do watch parties, all that. And it's good shit, man. I got Champions League on behind this. I got my BVB, I got the Dortmund. I mean, Dortmund was up 2-0, went up 4-3 on aggregate. They've now blown it. It's heartbreaking, but I've stayed locked in. I've stayed locked in on this interview the entire time as my team just cripples away in the second leg of Champions League.
Makes you happy to talk about UFC even more as Bingo. Every goal goes in that you do not want to see go in.
Bingo, brother. Thank you for having me, man. Love talking about this. Love recapping it. I could talk about this card for days.
Appreciate it, man.